with me now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 17 and read to verse 24. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 17 and reading to verse 24. Let's listen to God's holy word. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he add his richest blessing to the reading and hearing of it this morning. Today I want us to consider unlearn what is natural and learn what is unnatural. Unlearn what is natural, learn what is natural. Basically, we see at the heart of this that the call or the challenge before us is really to do something that we can't do. To walk or to pursue something that isn't in accordance with our nature, but rather to not do something that is common or acceptable to something that is comfortable as relates to our nature. And yet that's the call, as it were, that is set before us here. Paul, as you recall, is writing to the church at Ephesus and setting out this call before them or writing to them. He's already established the tremendous declaration of hope that is found to them through who God is, what God has revealed and done through Jesus Christ, and Christ's work is being applied to them by the Holy Spirit. He's dealt with his theology, as it were. He's laid out all the things that we should know or that he wanted the church in Ephesus to know as it relates to the person and work of the Godhead. And he moves from this then and he calls really the church to two things in his work of practice. He calls them to be one people and to strive for unity. We saw that in the last couple of sermons in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Because they're one, then walk together. But now he begins to note another encouragement. And we see this starting in verse 17, and this takes us until we get to spiritual warfare about halfway through chapter 6. And that is, because they are set apart, they ought to then strive for purity. Strive for unity, but also strive for purity. This call to pursue after holiness is a difficult call. After all, Paul himself notes that the church in Ephesus is to not walk as the Gentiles, and he makes that same call to us as well, to not live, to not walk after that which is natural. It's comfortable. It's the path of least resistance. It's easy. It's a path that has been well tread, that is very wide and filled with all sorts of comforts and delights, at least initially. It's a path that many, as we fight against the stream and resist by the grace of God, it's a path that is set before us in order to pressure us, whether the pressures are without or within. Whether there's the struggle that we find as we find those things that would easily entangle us and ensnare us and trip us up, those tendencies that we have. it's those things that we find outside of us, pushing against us, opposing us, harassing us, calling us to question, even challenging us in our faithfulness and obedience unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a call yet nonetheless that must be heard. Paul challenges us as it relates to unlearn what is natural. He says, don't walk or follow after the Gentiles. This call before the church at Ephesus would have been very great before them. After all, it's but a small church of a few people in a city that was known for its sexual immorality as it relates to its temple worship. Criminals themselves looked at the city of Ephesus to say it was a city that was vile and dark and full of all sorts of wickedness. The comment by one is that this city was simply a cesspool of wickedness and vileness. And so it would have been very easy for the church then to have given in, to have been enticed as they walked down the road, as they interacted with their friends and neighbors, to indulge in that which goes in stark contrast and opposition to the church. Paul notes them that they're called to be set apart. He says to the church at Corinth, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What thing in common does light have with darkness? There's to be a distinction in the way in which one walks and lives. The walk of the Gentile and the walk of the Christian cannot be the same. It must be identified as that which are different things. The call as Christians that are set upon us is that we cannot continue to have the love of the world within our eyes or in our hearts. Now, in considering this, please note that this is not simply the call of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, I affirm, I testify you by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a call from the Lord. This is a call to you from the Lord to be set apart. And yet you need to know that in this call that has come before you to unlearn what is natural is that it is not a call whereby you will improve yourself and better yourself so that you then will be acceptable before God. Some people view Christianity that way. They think that as it relates to God and His holiness and His demands, that what they will do is they'll take a few steps to make sure that they're improved and they're better so that they then can approach God and say, now I'm acceptable. Now God will receive me. Now everything is okay. But that call is impossible. Paul here isn't encouraging us to get ourselves better to then get to a point where things are good for us and things are improved and ready. He's calling us to something that is not natural in relation to the life of the pagan. To walk in a different way, in a different manner. This affirmation that he gives us, this call that comes before us, this challenge in terms of the life of the Christian, is to note that they cannot pursue after the path that they see around them, the way of this world, the pursuits of the flesh, the lies of the devil. He knows as one who has been redeemed how far different it is in accordance with that which is natural. Look at verse 17 and following. He says that the Gentiles walk in futility of mind. Their understanding is darkened, that they are alienated from the life of God, that they are ignorant to that which is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, that they have given themselves over to lewdness and work all uncleanness with greediness. Basically, Paul is just noting, look at what is there in the natural man and see how different it is. He notes that Christians think differently than the way of the non-Christian. The non-Christian, as it relates to his thinking, has been so affected that there is nothing to it. It is void of substance. It is vain. It is empty. It's futile. It is basically the substance of the winds, or the solidity of shadows, the firmness of that which passes away. It's the vanity that Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes, whereby he notes that all is vanity, all is lost, all is without hope. Paul here is causing us to rightly think about what is around us. He's saying, evaluate it, reflect on it, and see the absurdity of it. The absurdity of the Gentile system, the sinful system, the worldly system, is such that there is nothing to it. It's warped as it relates to its thinking. It has no truth, for it has been darkened spiritually. It's dark because it refuses to see Christ and refuses to see God. It's ignorant, being confirmed in its ignorance in order to pursue after a path of ignorance to then result in ignorance. The consequence of this is that it is complete and total alienation from God. And as this builds and as it continues, blindness upon blindness, vanity upon vanity, shadowiness upon shadowiness, futility upon futility, it only causes then the cycle to continue, so that the way of the world is set within its own despair, hardness, blindness, and losses. The statements made here in Ephesians 4 really are elaborated by Paul in Romans chapter 1. We won't read through all that, but Paul basically notes that God has truly revealed Himself to the world, and yet the world rejects Him and suppresses the truth and unrighteousness, and therefore they are willfully going against that which God has plainly made known and are under His wrath and will be judged, and that there will be consequences then for this. And yet we have not so known these things, because we have been delivered, we have been spared. God has done a work of grace. And the question then becomes, is that the thing that you want to pursue? Unlearn what is natural. Let go of that which God delivered you from. Notice the challenge that Paul sets in all of this. That these individuals are so caught up in their ignorance, they have become so hardened. New King James says blindness here in verse 18, but that word should actually be hardened. They have become so calcified in their depravity that they have then been given over to all sorts of sinfulness with greediness. The path of sin is subtle, but the consequences are devastating. The pursuit of sin is good for a moment, but the result of it is a terrible effect within the life of the individual. Paul here is really making a warning as he calls us to unlearn what is natural. The warning is that we should be so mindful of the way of destruction and where it leads, that we must watch for it as it relates to our own hearts and our own being, that we must be conscientious of it so that we will not allow to see ourselves slowly move in that way towards indifference, so that we would be far away from Christ. It's very easy for us through time to give into the cravings of our mind and our sin. We think little of it when we are by ourselves or when we must not give an account to anyone. But God is always mindful and He's always watchful. And He warns us, challenges us, He encourages us, He testifies to us through the Apostle Paul to unlearn what is natural. We must hear this as we think of the way in which we conduct ourselves, how we deal with ourselves in relation to one another. May it be that we would not be given in to wanting what another has, but be content with the position that God has placed us in. May it be that we be mindful of these things as we think about the pursuit of happiness as our nation wants to follow after. To do your own thing, to follow after your own way, to love what makes you feel best. Given into this as it relates to how we conduct ourselves sexually. Our country has said it's no big deal what you do as long as two people consult and find it to be okay. Even as it relates to the thinking of the church, we've accepted these things at times. That's the path of the natural man, and we're called to unlearn that, to let go of that, to be mindful of where it leads. It's a challenge not only for the old, but also for the young. Give thought and reflection to the consequence of the way of destruction. Your eyes have been opened, your ears have been opened, your tongue has been loosed. You may not, cannot follow after these things as a child of God if He's done the work of grace within your life. But how? How do we unlearn what is natural by learning what is unnatural? Listen to what Paul says in verse 20. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Learn what is unnatural. This is something that is outside of us. It is not something that is part of our condition, but rather, it is something that God then works in us, that He does so as we hear the gospel, and His Spirit makes life to come to us. Remember what we heard about the way of the Gentile, a futility in thinking, a dark understanding, alienated from the life of God, but God, by His grace, has taken us out of that. So we who were once lost are now found. We who were once dead are now alive. We who were once unable to see can now see very clearly. Isn't that what we just sang a few moments ago? And Lord, I was blind, I could not see. Lord, You have made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and dead to live. And lo, I break the chains of my captivity. God has broken the chains through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. He has set this before us. And so He calls us then to learn what is unnatural. What is it that we have learned? We have learned that we were helpless. We have learned that we were lost in sin and misery. We have learned that there was nothing that we could do, but that God, by His grace, so worked in us, so that He then made us His own. Through this work of salvation, He changed our desires so that we then repented of our sin. We repented of ourselves. And we returned to God. He changed our orientation so that we then no longer desired to walk after the path of unrighteousness, but to pursue that which glorified and exalted Him. This is what we've learned. This is what we've heard. This is what we have been taught. And notice here, he says that it is a ministry whereby we have learned of Him, that we have heard of Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. This ought to be a further encouragement to learn what is unnatural because of who is teaching you. Paul here says that it is Christ who's teaching you. You have heard Him. You've been taught by Him. Remember that the people here in Ephesus were not those who were walking around Galilee able to hear Jesus. They heard Jesus through His messenger, the Apostle Paul. You also hear Christ through His messenger. You hear Him through His Word as you read and study, and He by His Spirit encourages you and strengthens you and shows you what is there. You hear Him as you come and worship among His people and hear His Word read and also preached. Christ strengthens you. Christ upholds you. Christ feeds you and nourishes you. Christ sustains you. And think about what a blessing that is by way of contrast. The way of the Gentile, dark, alienation, death, hardness, consequence of great judgment. The one who has overcome your blindness, the one who has taken on your judgment, the one who has done the work of satisfaction on your behalf, comes to you to show you a great and glorious way, a way of hope and a way of strength. There's a blessing that you have in Christ as you hear from Him and learn from Him. Remember, He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." As you yoke to Christ, so He feeds you and encourages you and strengthens you. What does He then encourage you in or to do? To put off and to put on. I think Paul here is making 2 points. The first one is that this putting off and putting on has already happened. It happened the moment that you came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Paul testifies of this very thing, for example, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, when he says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into death? Therefore were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." This work has already happened. The moment that you were brought from your sin and into righteousness, the moment that God did this work of grace within you so that He changed you, was the moment that your old man was put off and died, and the new man then came to be in you. This work has already happened. Your position is certain, it's firm, it's secure. It's a position that we celebrate even as we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That Christ has satisfied all of the demands that you and I could not meet. And as a result, He overcomes our miserable condition and brings life before us. That's why I said at the beginning that this call by Paul is not a call whereby we improve ourselves, whereby we make ourselves better, whereby we do things so that we can be accepted and we can have certainty and we can have hope based on our efforts. Christ intervened and interceded, and He has changed us. He has given us a position. But Paul yet notes nonetheless that there is then a practical aspect of this. Although we have died to sin and are alive in Christ, yet in our practice, this is not yet perfect. And so we still then struggle. We still must hear then the call to die to self and live in righteousness. We still hear the challenge that the work of God's Spirit must be evident and manifest and take place in our lives. We're called by the grace of God to put off that which is the old and to put on that which is the new. This challenge that we continue to be renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit, whereby through the resources that God has given us, we see growth in grace. How many of you have thought about the following in your life? The times in which you seem to be closest to God, or the times in which you see it's easier to fight against the way of the Gentile. But the times in which it's hard to fight against the way of the Gentile is the times in which you're further from Him. You can attempt to do these things until you're blue in the face. But if it's not done in accordance with the strength and the Spirit of God, it is to no avail. It'll be fruitless. It'll be futile. Utilize the resources that God has provided to you. The means of grace, prayer, His Word, even the sacraments, whereby you are encouraged, strengthened, and renewed. As you are close to Christ, hearing of Him, being taught by Him, and learning from Him, the unnatural will be overcome. The putting off of the old and the putting on of the new will occur, whereby you will manifest righteousness as it relates to your actions towards those around you, and holiness as it relates to your actions before God. May God encourage you then to unlearn what is natural and to learn what is unnatural. May you see the world as it is, to see where it is, to not live in accordance with it, to remember that you are dead to it, and to remember that Christ then encourages and strengthens you. He feeds you, causes you to learn and causes you to grow, so that by His grace you will put off that which is old and put on that which is new. Paul proceeds to tell us or show us and to encourage us all the various areas in which we follow after this. And we'll look into this in the weeks to come. In the meantime, may God grant us His grace and strength to utilize the means that He has provided to us to demonstrate an unlearning of what is natural, that we might learn what is on that.